Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi, and welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm Aurora Queen. This is our show for Tuesday, March 6th, 2007. Thanks for listening in today. So for this month, the month of March, we're talking about CCS, or Compute Cluster Server. For today's show, Chris Avis interviews Sanjay Kulkarni. He's a program manager on the Excel Services team, and they talk about how Excel Services is being released with SharePoint Server 2007 and can be integrated with CCS to provide a solution for Excel-based calculations. And then next week, we talk about the evolution of high-performance computing. For today, here's Chris Avis interviewing Sanjay Kulkarni on TechNet Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of TechNet Radio. Today, we are speaking with Sanjay Kulkarni. He is a program manager from the Office team. He has a focus on Excel services, and we're going to be talking about how to use those Excel services with Compute Cluster from the Windows side. When Sanjay is not working inside of Excel spreadsheets, he enjoys hiking here in the Puget Sound area. So welcome, Sanjay, and thank you for taking time out to speak with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris.
All right. So let's set the stage here. I'm not one of your average home computer users. I run my own servers at home. I have DNS, mail servers, etc. But I don't have anything approaching what we would call either a compute cluster or a cluster of any kind. So for the benefit of our audience out there, could you just give us a really brief description of what a compute cluster is?
So in terms of what a cluster is, we are mainly talking about the Microsoft Compute Cluster Server 2003. Which is the product that we'll be mainly talking about and how it integrates with Excel and Excel services. So it is a set of tools so that it can present a number of different computers, which we call nodes, as a single entity to the user.
Okay.
So you can have a number of computers being presented as a single entity, and you can schedule jobs on these, and you can utilize them as if it's a single resource. So that's the end user side of things. And then we have tools for administrators so that they can monitor this cluster and they can add nodes to it or take nodes offline. So it can be managed as a single entity and used as a single entity.
Okay. So essentially presenting a group of machines as a single machine out to the end users. So it's kind of transparent to them.
That is correct.
Excellent, excellent. So is there any kind of special hardware configuration that's required, or can I just grab a bunch of machines sitting around my garage and put this together? Does it take special hardware or software on the side of the clustering side?
So, you know, you need to install Windows Server 2003 and the Microsoft Windows Compute Cluster Server on these machines. In terms of the hardware, you can use whatever minimum set of hardware that is required by the Compute Cluster Server. And it could be something that is unused by you. So this could be a way of leveraging hardware that you already have, but is not being leveraged all the time. And just to give you a perspective, you know, what used to cost millions of dollars a few years ago now is probably a few thousand dollars just in terms of the hardware. So, for example, for about $4,000, you can get a cluster of four nodes up and running. And the cost of hardware is going down dramatically.
Right.
So, which means that the cost of actually deploying this cluster and using it is really going down in terms of the investment that's needed.
Yeah. So my understanding of this is, let's say we take a four node cluster that we set up, and you know, $4,000 to $6,000 for the basic hardware. 10-20 years ago, you're talking about using a Cray supercomputer, which is, like you said, running in the millions of dollars for that dedicated piece of hardware.
Yeah, that is correct. And you know, the number of processors available on each node is also going up. So right. We are seeing a lot of processors with multiple cores. And the trend is that this has been increasing over a period of time. So every year, you see that actually you have multiple more cores available on CPUs. Also, the cost of each unit has been going down, which means that not only can you have more cores per CPU, but also you can have a lot of these nodes at a very, very economical price point in a cluster.
Yeah, and this just have to love Moore's Law, right?
That is correct. And, you know, this has got an important implication for high-performance computing going mainstream, you know,
right.
Which is one of the things that we look at, you know. So at Microsoft, we are looking to take the high-performance computing mainstream, where everybody will be able to utilize high-performance computing as a part of their job and leverage it to do things that they already do a lot better and maybe look at new things that they never thought about doing.
Right.
And doing them much faster and much better on a cluster.
Yeah, speed rules. All right, so while I may not be your average home computer user, when it comes to the Office products in Excel, I'm very much an average end user. I mean, I fiddle around with Excel spreadsheets, you know, your basic checkbook type applications. The most complicated thing that I do is I play fantasy football, and I put football player stats in, and I do averaging and things of that nature with it. What are large businesses doing with Excel that would require this type of distributed environment where they're going to run these services for Excel in a compute cluster type environment?
So, you know, it's one thing very interesting about Excel. It's used almost in everything that we can imagine and more by the end users. It's almost like a Swiss Army knife of software applications. Where, you know, people take Excel and they use it in a variety of different ways, in ways that we at Microsoft never thought possible. And they extend the capabilities of Excel and use it in different kinds of applications in their organizations. So one of the things that, one of the focus for Office 2007 was that, you know, how can we make it better in enterprises? And this is in terms of data, in terms of data handling capabilities, as well as the presentation capabilities in Excel. So from a high-performance computing perspective, some of the things that we've done for Excel 2007 is having a much, much bigger size of the spreadsheet. You can have a million-plus rows, 16,000-plus columns.
Right. I had heard we extended, because we had that, what was it, 255 was the column limit before, and it was like, What was the row count limit that we had
It
before?
Was 65,000.
65,000, yeah, that 256 squared, I think, is what it was.
That is correct. And, you know, we've increased it multiple folds, and that's got a huge implication for the size of the data that you can handle inside of Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ties in very well with what can I do inside of Excel for computationally intensive models, because you can handle a large amount of data in Excel. We also have added the capability to do calculations on multiple threads at the same time. So this adds concurrency to Excel, where I can do calculations much faster if I have multiple cores or multiple CPUs available on my machine. And this has got an interesting implication for how I can leverage this capability to use a cluster in my organization to do calculations.
Excellent. So I've worked with customers in the past that have used Excel in retail environments to handle the inventory of data. And they hit some of those limits that we mentioned with the columns and the rows. We've extended that out. Do you have some examples of other types of industries or businesses where there are just massive amounts of data that would be thrown into Excel for these computational purposes?
So, you know, we have financial services where they really have a large amount of data, and they've been running into this limitation of, you know, 65,000 rows and 256 columns very often. You know, surprisingly, one very common example of where people run into limitations is, you know, if you want to have a column for each day in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, very common.
Yeah, we're short by 100 or so rows, or excuse me, columns there.
Yeah, about 109 rows or so.
Right.
And so there are things like this that are very common scenarios that we enable. But, you know, getting to enterprise applications, you always have examples where you're trying to pull in data into Excel from external data source, from SQL Server or analysis services. So if I look at data that usually comes from relational sources, you know, the data is sometimes large. You're mostly interested in aggregations of the data, but you want the data inside of a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very common example where, you know, you always run into the limitation of 65,000 rows because you just can't get the data inside of Excel to do further analysis. Now, we did have ways of getting this data into Excel and doing aggregations of it, but there was no way to put it into the spreadsheet before, and now that's possible because the limits have been extended.
Excellent. So we're talking about these massive amounts of data, and that kind of leads into surpassing the processing power that we keep on the desktop. You know, it Moore's Law has us putting more processors in at a cheaper price, but it seems like the amount of data that we're wanting to manipulate is growing even faster than what the hardware can handle. So what does this type of cluster environment give us? How do we implement this? What is required on the back-end server side of the cluster to make this work? Is it SharePoint? Is it Excel? I mean, are we just installing an instance of Excel on the server? What are we doing?
So, you know, we've seen interesting examples where people run into limitations of what they can do on their desktop. Mm-hmm. So there are limitations of space. There are limitations of how much power you can bring to an office mm-hmm. for putting more processing power there. So obviously the solution is have some kind of centralized solution where I can have a server and use it from my desktop mm-hmm. for doing the calculations on the server. So we have a new functionality in SharePoint 2007 for rendering Excel spreadsheet. So Excel Services is a service that runs on SharePoint 2007, and it ships as a part of Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, which allows you to render these spreadsheets using HTML and JavaScript in a browser. Mm-hmm. So the spreadsheets are opened on the server, they're calculated on the server. If there is external data connections connecting to SQL Server or other data sources, they are refreshed on the server and calculated on the server. So this has got a very interesting implication for where the calculation takes place.
Right.
So if you're looking at a website, it's quite possible that the part of the website is actually coming from Excel workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being rendered at runtime. So if you change the Excel workbook, what's being displayed on the website actually changes.
It's live. It's dynamic data.
That is correct.
Which could be connected out to, like you said, a SQL database or through some sort of ODBC connection to some other type of database and updating that information live and presenting it through that web interface.
That is correct. And this has got a very important implication for how do I service multiple users.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if I have 10,000 users in my organization every day coming in the morning and looking at the updated data, you know, if everybody is connecting to the database from their desktop, it's going to be a huge amount of load on your database.
Mm-hmm.
So this presents a very interesting opportunity where I can do caching on the server depending on, you know, the kind of authentication and authorization that I have set up. And if the users have the same rights, I can show them the same data which is cached on the server instead of hitting the database again and again mm-hmm. and again. So which has an interesting implication for response times and performance you can offer.
We had talked about SharePoint. So to implement this, are we talking about installing the Microsoft Office SharePoint server pieces to the compute cluster and then connecting to that from the desktop?
So there are two ways you can use this. First is you can just install Microsoft Office SharePoint server and use the server-side calculation capability of Excel Services.
Mm-hmm.
And that itself has a lot of applications in enterprise. You know, one interesting example that we have seen is a single version of truth. So now currently we see that spreadsheets are emailed around. And
right.
after 2-3 iterations, you never know which is the correct version of the spreadsheet.
Right. Trying to track down what the last one that was changed is almost impossible when they start getting sent out through email.
That is correct. And that is one problem that you can address using Excel Services and SharePoint 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at this point, we are not even talking about clustering, but just solving some basic organizational problems.
Right,
using
the versioning that SharePoint offers. For
that
us.
Is correct. Versioning, workflow, and several other things which SharePoint has. So
yeah, the
combine
check-in,
that.
Check-out processes, approval processes, etc.
That is correct. And, you know, using combining this SharePoint functionality with Excel Services provides you with an interesting combination for any solution. So that's one part. And the second part is, you know, how can I do my computations better if I move this to a cluster?
Mm-hmm.
So how can I combine all the abilities that Microsoft Compute Cluster Server provides? You know, the managing the cluster, adding nodes, you know, getting some nodes down for maintenance, for example, which is, you know, very easy in the Compute mm-hmm. Cluster Server. How can I leverage that? You know, the ability to have guaranteed execution of jobs
mm-hmm.
to make sure that my scheduling is based on resource utilization. If a node is very busy, I don't schedule a job to it. So all the capabilities that Microsoft Compute Cluster Server has, how can I combine it with Excel services to offload all the spreadsheet calculations, the compute intensive spreadsheets that I have onto a cluster?
Okay.
So leverage capabilities in SharePoint for, you know, workflow version control, leverage Excel services for calculating spreadsheets on the server, and leverage the compute cluster server for managing and presenting the cluster as a single resource to the users.
Okay. So to kind of go down this road a little bit more, when we're talking about this clustering and the scalability side of these Excel services with SharePoint, let's just take, for example, we have a two-node cluster, and a business knows it's growing. They've got a lot more data coming in. It's really almost as simple as adding two more nodes to the cluster to make it a four-node cluster. Do you have to install SharePoint to those additional nodes, or what type of path is necessary to take to get this to work on those additional nodes that we add in?
So we need to install SharePoint 2007 on the nodes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you will need to install Compute Cluster Server on those nodes.
Correct.
But the actual addition of the node is, it's fairly
simple. It's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. There is a user interface available for adding nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So you will install the software that's necessary on these nodes. And then you can just add these nodes to your cluster and you're ready to go, basically.
And then is there anything we have to do on the client side to make them aware of these extra machines, or is that all handled by the server?
That's all handled by the server.
So it's totally transparent to the end user.
Yeah, so the users, would just notice the change by having better response time and better service.
Yeah, so they're...
But not necessarily know that you've added, more nodes to the cluster.
Right. So when we talk about this scalability, are we talking about... What additional types of scalability is there? Is it just more users can connect to this Excel data? Is it calculating all the data faster? I mean, what aspects are coming into play here?
I think we have both the capabilities. So, we talked a little bit about caching and how it helps to mm-hmm. scale your server better and service more users much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, that comes into play. If you have large number of users accessing the same spreadsheets, caching could help you in a huge, huge way to mm-hmm. scale better. There is a question of, what happens if I have long running calculations, something that takes for an hour mm-hmm. to calculate. And it's not uncommon for spreadsheets in financial services or, scientific community to have spreadsheet which run for an hour or 2 hours, in some cases even run overnight.
Wow, an all-night calculation on the spreadsheet. That's a lot of data.
So now just think about, if it's running on your desktop, there's no guarantee that it would finish by the time you come back.
Cleaning crew comes by and kicks the power cord out, and there you go. You're starting all over the next day, right?
Yeah, and then, you might want to do something, more useful with your desktop than doing this calculation mm-hmm. when you actually come into work the next day.
Right, you gotta play games sometimes.
Yeah, so. That's right. So there is a question of, do I have a guarantee that the execution would, take place when I say it would? And is there a guarantee that if something fails, that mm-hmm. it would be rescheduled on a resource which is not going to interfere with my everyday work?
Right. So the scalability, let's take that example, the four-node cluster that we just upgraded to. We submit a job or a process out that gives us the kind of the guaranteed finish because, let's say, cleaning crew does unplug one of the nodes. How does that work? How does the rest of the system see that and reschedule that information that you'd mentioned?
So the Compute Cluster Server has a head node, which is monitoring all the nodes.
Mm-hmm.
The what we call is the job agents on each node,
mm-hmm.
whether they are running and whether the connectivity is there or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of the nodes goes down while it's executing a task or a job,
mm-hmm.
It gets rescheduled because the head node knows that one of the nodes has gone down and it had a certain number of tasks or jobs running on that node.
Does it reschedule it on that node when it comes up, or does it reschedule it on to another node that's currently running?
It will reschedule it on another node that's currently running.
So
a node could go down and stay down, and mm-hmm. it wouldn't really affect your cluster or the jobs that have run on the cluster, because it will get rescheduled on another node. It will also check for, you know, what are the resources needed for running this job. It will make sure that the resources are available on the other node on which it's being rescheduled. So this way you get guaranteed execution, even, you know, even if the cleaning crew hits the power cord, you would get guaranteed execution of your job. Another aspect, very important aspect of this is that, you know, can I use this cluster to make what I already do a lot faster? Like we talked about things that run overnight or run for a few hours. Why can't I finish in a few minutes if I have a 128 node cluster available or 256
node? That's a big cluster.
That's a big cluster. So, you know, if I do have that resource available, and it might be a shared resource between a lot of people in the organization, can I make it faster? And, you know, a very important functionality to consider here is the multi-threaded calculation in Excel client.
Now, is that a new feature or has that existed with Excel for some time?
No, this is a new feature in Excel 2007.
Okay.
So where, you know, we leverage, if you have multiple CPUs or if you have CPUs with multiple cores on your desktop, we leverage those CPUs to do the calculations much faster. There is also a way where you can actually configure in Excel how many threads should be run for doing the calculations. Now, this has a very interesting implication on how you can leverage the compute cluster server. You can write add-ins, and specifically you can write XLLs, which are multi-threaded in Excel 2007, so that you can actually have multi-threaded functions which actually schedule a job and do the calculation on a cluster. Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, let's say if I have Excel spreadsheet, which is using the same user-defined function in, say, let's say 100 different cells. You know, all these 100 cells could be calculated independently, you know, depending on the calc chain dependencies in your spreadsheet. You can imagine creating a spreadsheet where the calculations are really independent of each other and they call a user-defined function in XLL to do the calculation. In the user-defined function, you could schedule a job on the cluster and do the calculation on the cluster and return the results to Excel. So this has a very important implication for how fast the calculation happens. So in the example we talked about, you know, if I have a 64-node cluster, I could be calculating 64 things at the same time on 64 nodes.
So is this similar to setting processor affinity for applications on a local machine where you can have an application that runs on, say, CPU 0 and an application that runs on CPU 1 to kind of load balance that? Can you had mentioned that with the cells or with the processes, can we have a specific calculation assigned to a specific node? How granular is that control?
So we rely on the compute cluster server scheduler to do. And one of the great things about this is, you know, it knows what resources are required for running each job, and it knows the resource utilization on the nodes. So it's totally transparent to you as to, you know, which node the job runs on.
Okay.
You get the results back, and the scheduler does it in an optimum way. So in a way, it takes the responsibility away from you to optimize the cluster. It takes away the responsibility from you to optimize the cluster. All you do is you schedule these jobs for running the calculations, and the scheduler optimizes so that it's run in the most efficient way on the cluster.
So it's not a manual configuration then. It's all automatic, handled by this scheduling service on the back end. Now, that's a part of the compute cluster, or is that a part of the SharePoint Excel services?
That is part of the compute cluster server.
Compute cluster. Okay. So we've talked about how this provides redundancy, about the scalability, a lot of extra speed for calculations on the end user side, et cetera. What about the interface? Are the end users going to be using the standard Excel interface? Are they limited to that, or are there other means of accessing this data? Well, I think we touched on this earlier. Maybe talk about a web interface for this.
Right. So, there are a couple of things. You can customize the interface in Excel by writing an add-in.
Okay.
So it does mean that you actually do write some amount of code for doing that. And, you know, we recently wrote a sample to try this out by writing an add-in in Excel client for scheduling things onto a cluster. The example that we took was a parametric sweep. And by parametric sweep, what I mean is that you're recalculating the same spreadsheet each time with different inputs. A good example is a Monte Carlo simulation with, you know, different strike prices and interest rates. This is an example in financial services.
Is this a demo that by chance might be public or something? Do we have a webcast around this or a sample spreadsheet that might be available to our customers that are listening?
We're thinking of making this available. Right now, this is available as a demo, and we've shown this to several customers.
Okay.
We are currently thinking of making it available on MSDN or a similar platform.
Excellent.
Where, you know, you can download not only the demo, but the source code so that you can take and customize it.
Okay, so watch the Excel site to see if that comes up out at the office site. So, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and talk about your simulation and how that works, the parametric sweeps.
So you know, in financial services, this is a good example where, you know, my strike price is changing or my interest rate is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I run the simulation repeatedly to come up with my option prices or my relative delta normal variations. And I could have some, you know, charts inside of Excel based on my calculation results. Mm-hmm. So for running these kind of parametric sweeps, we wrote an add-in which actually took the data from Excel and ran these simulations on a cluster and returned the results inside of Excel.
Mm-hmm.
We had an interface from SharePoint as well as from Excel client so that you could have a web-based interface as well as do this inside of Excel client. But that was an interesting example of, you know, how you could take a business scenario and write your own UI inside of Excel for entering the inputs, run it on the cluster and return the results back in Excel client, which is, you know, which is the most familiar interface for a lot of users who are running these kind of simulations.
So essentially what you're saying is that it's very customizable.
That is correct. It's customizable. You can customize the UI. You can customize the way you run the jobs. And in this case, what we did was we used leveraged Excel services to run these models on the SharePoint server. Each node on the compute cluster had SharePoint running on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we could, you know, we could scale out as much as the size of the cluster for running these spreadsheets, which means that, you know, in my example, in the parametric sweep, if I had an 8-node cluster, I could be doing, you know, 8 or more of these simulations at the same time.
Right.
And I could collect all these results together in Excel. This means a tremendous amount of speed up in, you know, how fast the simulation happens. Now, on a trading floor for a financial company, this could mean, you know, a real advantage in terms of how they do business, because they get the results faster, they can service their customers better. And this could mean real business advantage for them.
Okay. So what other cool stuff? Just kind of go wild here. What other cool stuff around this Excel's capabilities do we have in this compute cluster environment that I'm just not aware of, that I don't know what to ask you about? You're the specialist here. Tell me the cool stuff around this.
So, you know, there is a exciting amount of opportunities here, how this can be leveraged. And, you know, the more we talk to customers, the more excited we were about, you know, what the opportunities are.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, customers saw opportunities that we had never thought about, you know, just using. So one of the important thing is, you know, what kind of infrastructure is available for developing solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Excel Services has a web services API, which you can leverage, you know, which you can use to open Excel workbooks. You can set values in the session that you have opened. You can recalculate. You can connect to external data and refresh data. And you can get the workbook back. Then either you can save it to SharePoint or, you know, you can save it locally.
Mm-hmm.
So you can leverage the web services API. Compute Cluster Server has an API and a SDK available that you can link with. And SharePoint has a rich web services as well as, you know, API based on libraries that you can leverage to develop applications. And this really generates a lot of possibilities as to what you can do. So there is a lot of scope for customization. You can use the already available tools and use out-of-box functionality for, you know, making your business better, or you can write totally customized applications which, you know, which make things faster, which make your UI better so that your users find it easier to use. So there is a, you know, a lot of possibilities here where, you know, you can make things that you already do much faster, much easier, and your collaboration much, much richer using SharePoint, using all the capabilities in the compute cluster server to manage your resources better, and Excel services so that, you can connect to external data, you can make your workbooks faster, you can collaborate better.
So it sounds like basically with this combination of the compute cluster, the Excel services in the Office SharePoint server, and the Office products, we've pretty much given a blank slate with the products. We've extended out what they're able to do as far as how much data that they can work with, et cetera, and the possibilities are sounding like they're rather endless.
That is correct. And, one thing that we really feel proud about is we offer a lot out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessary to, go and write code for everything that you have to do. I think there is a lot available out of the box. And then, if you do want to develop something and customize it, we have tools available for that.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, thank you very much, Sanjay, for the time you've spent with us today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day for us.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Quite welcome. So that ends this session of TechNet Radio. We'll be posting out some URLs from Sanjay that have some supporting information on this that you can link to from the website. Thank you all very much.
Chris Avis and Sanjay Kulkarni on TechNet Radio. I put those links up on our site, microsoft.com/TNradio. There you'll find the Windows Compute Cluster Server 2003 homepage, the Excel Services site, the SharePoint Server 2007 developer portal, and links to some blogs with additional info. There's a two-part webcast series coming up. It has the same title as our podcast today, and they're TechNet webcasts, scaling out Excel calculations using Windows Compute Cluster Server 2003. Sanjay presents the first webcast of that series, so if you have any questions for him from today's talk, make sure to attend that live webcast, and then you can ask him those questions directly. The first one is Thursday, March 15th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time, and then part two is Tuesday, March 20th at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. So I put those links up on our site. Visit microsoft.com/TNradio. Send me an email at tnradio@microsoft.com and let me know what you think of our podcast, or you can also call our listener line. I always enjoy hearing from you. Thanks for tuning in today. I look forward to next week. I'm Aurora Queen for TechNet Radio.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.